Throughout the program, we've looked at how to approach some of the very unique challenges to working with people who blame. So now let's look at one more complexity that can often come into play. You see, according to Dr. Christine Podesky, some of the most challenging clients to work with in terms of blame and wanting other people to change have been clients with certain personality disorders.
In particular, you get this with clients with narcissistic personality and clients with obsessive compulsive personality, where they believe everything would be okay if everyone else would just change. So in the case of the narcissistic personality, if everyone would just recognize how wonderful I am, all would be good. With the case of the person with obsessive compulsive personality, it's like if everyone just did things right, if everyone just went by the book, life would be good. Now, these clients can be tough to work with in therapy because they do deflect constantly onto other people. I think with clients who get so angry at other people and want other people to change, they often evoke antagonism in people, including the therapists. Even though we may try to hide it, we do feel a bit antagonistic toward them, and they pick up on this. So it's really important to come across as an ally.
So Christine developed an interview format for working with clients who angrily blame others. She found this to be particularly effective with clients who struggle with narcissism or obsessive compulsive disorder. In her intervention, Christine uses a lot of empathy and reality messaging. The goal here is to help the client find more effective ways to get what they want. But the tricky part can be doing this while also being seen as the client's ally.
So the frame I would use is when they would say, you know, if people would just do things by the book, if they just do things right, I wouldn't be having all these problems that I'm having. And I would start responding to that by saying, oh yeah, I see what you're saying. I would agree. You know, it is aggravating when people don't do things right, isn't it? Yes, it's very aggravating. I say, and if we could change everyone and get everyone in the world to do things just right by the book, how would that be for you? So then I do an inquiry into what would that be like for them if what they want was achieved. And invariably what people talk about is, oh, that I could relax. Then I'd be so much happier. Then things would go smoothly. My life would go smoothly. I wouldn't have to be so tense all the time.
What Christine is doing is helping the client focus on the kind of outcome that they actually want. But she's doing it in a way that's helping to build the therapeutic alliance. See, when we start to empathize with the outcome that the client wants, we can help them start to focus more on outcome. And then, through the building of the therapeutic connection, we'll be seen more as an ally to the client, more of a person that they can trust to help them get to what they actually want.
So I say, oh, that would be so good for you. I can see how that would be really good for you to be able to relax, be calm, and to just kind of live your life, not worrying about everybody all the time. Wow, that would be really good.
Now, once we've built this empathic connection to the client's desires, we can open up a little space in their thinking. And that's when we can begin to introduce some reality.
And I say, you know, I'm very concerned about you because I do see how tight and wound up you get. And I really worry the toll this is going to take on you, on your health, on your ability to enjoy your life. And at the same time, I know how aggravating it is when people don't do things. And so that keeps you kind of wound up. But I have to say, based on my experience and all my years interacting with people, and especially as a therapist, I don't think it's likely that everybody is going to change and do things by the book. So I'm really concerned. This is a real dilemma for you. You know, I'm wondering, what would it be like if you could feel calm and relaxed and happy and not worrying about other people, even when they're not doing things by the book? What would that be like for you? And then the people will usually say something like, well, that'd be great, but that's impossible. And I'll say, yeah, I can see how that seems kind of impossible. But to me, if we can't count on everybody else changing, and we want you to have a happy, relaxed, contented life, seems like we'd have better odds moving in that direction.
By keeping a focus on the desired outcome, Christine can establish herself as an ally to the client's healing, an ally for them finding happiness in life. And this is key. You see, when a client feels like you're both in this together, they can focus better on strategies to help them heal and focus less on blaming others.
I find that at that point, they can hear the messages about other things. And then when they complain about other people, I'll say, okay, you know, this is one of those things. Look at how tight you're getting. You're getting wound up here. So what could we do to help you get to that point you want to get, even when they're doing that?
So let's quickly review Christine's four-part strategy to help shift the way a client holds on to blame. In the first step, we try to join with the client where they are. We validate their experience that leads them to blame. Second, we look for a desired outcome. How would the client's life be better if other people did, in fact, change? Third, we empathize with this desired outcome. We try to connect with what the client's world would feel like if everybody did change in the way that they wanted them to. And fourth, we introduce the reality of the situation, that for the most part, other people really aren't going to change. And of course, the key to this approach is that the practitioner is functioning as an ally, aligning themselves with the client. Now, before we go on, let's look at another angle on how we might work with blame within the context of a client's personality disorder. According to Lynn Lyons, the most consistent blamers are often people who struggle with obsessive-compulsive disorder. Now, anxiety can sometimes also play a role for these clients. So with all that in mind, let's turn now to Lynn as she walks us through her approach.
The way I conceptualize anxiety slash OCD is that there is a cult leader living in the family, and the cult leader makes the rules, and if everybody would just follow the rules, then things would be fine. But there are two categories, really, when I'm dealing with this. One is that a parent who comes in with a child who's struggling, and it doesn't take long for me to start talking about the tree and the apple, and I do it in a joking way, and sort of the lights go on, and they as a family begin to recognize that there's been a lot of focus on what other people need to do, and it's really been sort of this anxiety or this OCD that is trying to be in control of the family just because it makes everybody feel better or it makes the parent feel better. So a family comes in, for example, and the child has OCD, or they believe that the child, somebody has said, your kid has OCD, go see Lynn Lyons. So the family comes in, and it becomes apparent, which it often does, this particularly with younger kids, that one of the parents has OCD as well. And so if I start talking, if I do that psychoeducational piece, and if I just start talking about OCD in the third person, and if I start talking about how it operates, and the fact that dad has been an ogre about keeping the house perfect, or mom loses it when things don't go like they need to go, or there's a lot of rules about where things are put, or strange rituals that have to be abided by, and everybody feels like they're living under the tyranny of this parent. And when we pull it out and we start talking about the OCD, the anxiety, the rigidity, the cult leader, I want the family to join together against the cult leader rather than have them join together against the parent. And once I begin to start talking about that and we can put it out here, then an enormous amount of progress can be made and the blaming stops.
So you might think of Lynn's strategy as a two-prong approach. First, she shifts the focus away from the person who's doing the blaming by shining a spotlight on the disorder that might be driving it instead. So in this case, OCD. Second, Lynn starts to join her clients together against the disorder rather than against the person who's blaming. So now let's take a look at how this might take shape in practice. Here's how Lynn will sometimes language it.
So the dad says, you know, so this is, you know, what's wrong with a neat and tidy house? Or as a dad said to me recently, so you're telling me you want me, this is an overprotective, really sort of demanding father who's very anxious and terrified that his kids were going to get hurt. So you're telling me that you just want to, I should just give my kids power tools, right? Just give them a chainsaw, right? And they were, the kids were like 7 and 9. So I say, no. Here's what I'm saying is that there is a part of you, and I think there's a part of your son too, because that's why you came in, that is making rules that you feel like you have to follow. And it's very demanding. And everybody in the family is trying to follow these rules. And when somebody breaks the rules, you see them as the problem, because this part of you cannot tolerate when things don't go the way that they need to go. And so, understandably, say you have a rule that the sheets have to be perfect, or there can't be any glasses on the sink, or nobody can be a minute late for anything. I can definitely understand how you would think if everyone would just cooperate, then we wouldn't have these problems. But what I'm saying to you is that this is a pattern, and I bet one of your parents had it too, if you think back. And I might say to the kids, Grandma or Grandpa, sound familiar, right? Everybody nods, That you've been living with this pattern for a really long time. That you've been taught and you've been shown, and this pattern has been modeled to you. So what I want to do now is let's take that part and put it out here so that we can all have a look at it, so that you can begin to understand it, so that your kids can begin to understand it, so your son who has the same part can begin to understand that for himself too. And let's work on figuring out how we can be united in understanding and reacting differently to that part. I want to free you from the tyranny of that part too. See, your kids would come in and say that we need to be freed from the tyranny of dad's perfectionism. And I think really you need to be freed from the tyranny of it too. And so let's just put it over there, and let's just all work together to sort of have a different reaction to that. And you know, I mean, that doesn't take too long, actually. You put it that way, and now the spouse maybe feels a little bit more empathic, and we're talking about this thing that's been ruling the family, and everybody agrees with that. And does anybody have a story about another relative? You know, oh gosh, you know, Grandpa at the family picnic, and suddenly they're united against this thing that's been ruling their family, and the blaming stops.
So by helping her clients look at blame more objectively, they were able to make a gradual shift away from fault finding and begin to find empathy and unity instead. Now in the next bonus video, we'll look at an interactive technique that's designed to help couples shift out of fault finding. But really, this exercise could help individual clients as well. I'll see you in the next bonus.